The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impact of ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Audio of this and each episode of Bengal Business can be found at kisu.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Bengal Business Radio Show. I'm Shane Hunt, Dean of the College of Business and a professor of marketing here at Idaho State University, and I am thrilled this month to welcome our guest, Idaho State University alum Roger Akers. Roger, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Shane. Thanks very much for the invitation. I'm honored.
Well, Roger was one of the first people that I got to meet and know after becoming dean here at Idaho State, and truly an extraordinary career. I mean, one of the leading entrepreneurs in the country and the things that he does to help companies grow and succeed. And it's really an amazing story. So, Roger, I'm fascinated. I know this story. But just to start out, how do you go from being a student here at Idaho State University in the College of Business to being a leading entrepreneur in California and the different things you do? So just kind of walk us through how that happens.
Well, primarily, I think it starts off with coming from ISU is fear. We needed to go out and be successful because we didn't have much at the time. And believe me, getting through college was a struggle, but learned a lot, worked all the way through, and had learned a great deal while going to school. So when I came out of ISU, I had great degrees. I had an accounting degree and a computer science degree. And that CPA track in the accounting degree. I never practiced as a CPA in my life, but it always served me very, very well along the way. So that financial background, in addition to the computer science background, and then I got a chance to work at the University Computer Center, which really set my career with the people that I met there, working in administrative systems there at ISU. And that really helped. And they paid for my master's degree. And so, you know, do you get your master's at the same school you get your undergraduate? Well, Roger Akers did.
Well, so did Shane Hunt. So Shane Hunt and Roger Akers share that, Roger. So we share that. And I think that's such a great combination of that, of the accounting and the computer science. And I also, you know, just the contacts, Roger, you've shared this with me, the people that you meet. I think one of the things for students listening to this, the opportunity in everything you do on campus to meet people that can change the trajectory of your career.
It's absolutely critical. And they were the key to my career ultimately and it getting started. One of the gentlemen at the computer center, I actually followed him to downtown Detroit, Michigan, working for a Philadelphia IT consulting company, working on the worst projects you could imagine in downtown Detroit. I went there and worked on a very, very large implementation for Wayne County Community Colleges because I had university background.
Absolutely.
Right? And then we had a success there, got the software installed, worked a lot of hours. And then I got the opportunity to go get fired. I moved to Alaska and the same consulting firm had a group of senior managers up there. And they hadn't got the job done after a couple of years. The university was very upset, putting in all new financial systems for the University of Alaska system. And so they sent me out there up to Alaska to work on this project to kind of take over from where these guys were. But the reality was is that I was going up there to be fired because the university would throw us out. And I got to meet a fantastic guy up there at the University of Alaska. He was the executive vice president of finance for the whole system. And he gave me carte blanche to spend as much money as I wanted, to hire whoever I wanted, to do whatever I needed to do in order to get the system installed. And we were able to do that. And that was a great success for a great group of people. And I still know those people. And we just had a lot of fun there. And 2.5 years of working very, very hard, eating about 100 pounds of popcorn. And it was a lot of work. From there, I left there and I was going to be married very soon. And my wife, by the way, we got married while we were in Alaska. And we moved to San Francisco and worked for the city and county of San Francisco and worked actually for Dianne Feinstein and a gentleman by the name of Rudy Nottenberg, her henchman there at the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. And we put in a very, very large water sewer billing system for the city and county of San Francisco and a big transportation system for Muni there. And I worked very, very hard. That consulting firm then went public. And I made a few bucks when they went public. And I decided, you know, if I'm going to work this hard, I've got to get closer to the bottom line. And so I went back to my roots and went up to Boise, Idaho, and found a partner. And we had a company called ProData Incorporated. And this is in the 84, 85 timeframe. That'll show you how old I am. But 84, 85 timeframe, we started Acres Capital. And over the next 12 years, we built that into 7 offices in the Western U.S., 480 full-time people,
wow,
110 contractors, 30% management consulting, 70% heavy systems development work. It was just a great, great opportunity, a great success. And I got to grow very, very fast and get a lot of personal growth very, very quickly again in that environment. And it was just a lot of fun. And got, you know, always work with smarter people than you are. Well, that's what I got to do there because I just had every IT prima donna in the world working for me.
I tell people all the time, Roger, that's such great advice. I always tell people, I tell my kids that story. The best thing you can do is try to work with people smarter than you. And I'm blessed to get to do that every day.
Don't get your ego involved in that one, let me tell you. So from there, we got to sell that company, and my partner and I got to sell that company in 95, 96, right when the valuations on IT services companies were peaking. And that's why I get to goof around the way I do. And so from that, I did some consulting with Intel and Cisco Systems, and I got challenged by a guy at Intel, and he told me, he said, you know, why don't you work for Intel Capital? And I said, well, I don't think I'll be much of an employee. And he says, well, why don't you start a boutique venture capital company? And so we did that and ended up raising 2 funds over the next 10, almost 12 years. And we wrapped that up in 2017 and had a great success. And people made a bunch of money on the companies we invested in. And we were just small boutique, but we built great syndication relationships with other VCs over in Silicon Valley, et cetera, which I still maintain those relationships today. So we got done with that. And so my partner, he was more of an operator versus investment guy. And so he's now just had a great success over in Boise again and helped sell a very, very prominent company over there and made another great pile of money. And so I've been doing mergers and acquisitions work. I do a little organizational analysis work, and then I mentor early stage companies and help grow one or two of those a year. And we're involved in a great one and just kicked off an AI company in the mental health arena just recently. And we're having a lot of fun bringing that online and goofing around a lot. Still do a lot of whitewater rafting up in Idaho and golf and duck and goose hunting and all kinds of
stuff. Best whitewater rafting in the world, my friend. Best whitewater rafting in the world here.
I'm going to get you out there.
I'm ready. Hey, I'm ready to go, Roger. I'll take the sweater vest off and we'll be ready to go. I think, you know, one of the things, we were very fortunate to have Roger be the inaugural speaker in our Graduate Executive Business Speaker Series this past fall. And one of the things that I think I brought up and I wanted to ask on the show is you work with a lot of entrepreneurs at different stages of those businesses and those ideas. We have a lot of students and beyond that, just a lot of listeners throughout Southeastern Idaho that are interested in starting their own business and being more entrepreneurial. And I just wanted to ask, are there things that you see, having dealt with folks across all different industries and regions, are there things that you wish that entrepreneurs knew, if there's something that you wish that they did differently, or maybe something like that that you've seen from your experience?
Well, I could probably write a book on that question.
I was about to say that could be a couple hours, Roger. That'll have to be for the special podcast form of this.
it would take a while, but so there's just so many different things that you could pick on, and maybe along the way at ISU we'll have a chance to share some more of that in more in depth. I would just one thing. Let's just pick one.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times entrepreneurs are really good at identifying their product, and they're very proud of their product and or their service that they're going to provide, and they just really, really boil the ocean to make it just the best possible product that it could possibly be. But do they really take the time, because it's heavy lifting, do they really take the time to really go look at the competition? And let me tell you, if you hear somebody say there's no competition, they're wrong.
That's so true.
There's always some form of competition out there, one way or the other. And so they have to look at the competition to really figure out what their value proposition is. And then if you take that the next step, you need to look at complementary companies out there in the marketplace that might not be what you are, but they serve the same client base that you serve. And what a great partner or investor it could be to have those complementary companies help drive you into channel and drive you into their customer base to provide greater value through them. And from that, lower your cost of customer acquisition. And after you do all that analysis, a magical thing happens almost every single time. You find out what your product or your service is really worth, and you figure out how much to charge for it and how much you can charge for it, and really figure out what your true economies of scale are. And I know that sounds like a mouthful, and it sounds like it's very, very difficult to do. But I have to tell you, that's one of the most important things you could possibly do as an entrepreneur, is really, really focus in that area.
And I think one of the things that several students commented to me after you spoke that I thought was really powerful, you know, when you get come and get a business degree, you touch in all those areas. So marketing, finance, accounting, information systems. And what I think your story and what you just were saying, what struck me was, if you're going to be an entrepreneur and you're going to have and build a successful business, it touches on all of those aspects. And I think that's a really powerful thing for the students that are listening to this to consider as they're going through those courses, regardless of what their major is.
That's exactly right. And don't be fearful. You know, whenever anybody decides they want to start a business or they want to build a business or they're in the process of building a business, they're going to be challenged every single day on something. And you know, don't be fearful. Just keep working and stay true to yourself and make sure that you evolve the business. When you see evolution coming, don't give up on your idea easily. But if you know you have to evolve and you can see an evolution that needs to occur, go ahead and evolve the business and grow with it, even though it wasn't your primary idea. And I always give the engineers a bad time because they hate change. They hate the change from that initial product. And so I give the engineering guys a little bit of a bad time because they don't like to evolve too much, the business models.
Well, I would finish, Roger, with this. I think that don't be fearful is so true. And in fact, I've after you said that to me previously, I've probably said that 10 times to my kids. Like, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful of that. There's great opportunities, and seize those opportunities and those new challenges. I had a student come up to me, Roger, after you spoke the next day. You spoke on a Thursday night and Friday. Student came by my office and he said, Dr. Ryan, he said, I want to do exactly what Mr. Akers does. Exact same thing. I want to follow the same path. And so I thought I would ask if you had advice for students, and we've got students listening to this that are soon to be graduates, are MBA students, but we also have freshmen. For our current students, is there any advice that you would share, or something that you wish would want them to know?
Well, again, we could... There's a book there somewhere as well. But, you know, I had some great conversations up there earlier this year with students. Just fantastic feedback and input. I mean, it was great. People shared their ideas with me, and I got to share a few with them. And I have to say that I asked a question. I said, how many of you are going to be making over $100,000 a year in 6 years? And out of probably 45, 50 students, I had two positively say, I'm going to. Two out of 50. And I have to tell you, and this is not a bragging thing or anything like that, but every single one of the people in those sessions that I interacted with are all going to be making more than $100,000.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Every single one of them, right? And so I have to tell you, and this is endemic throughout our society, people aim too low.
Agree.
In their lives. And there's circumstantial things that cause people to do what it is they do. But I have to tell you, people aim too low and they set their goals too low along the way, and it holds them back. And I don't care whether you want to live in Pocatello the rest of your life or wherever you want to be because of circumstances or whatever it might be. I guarantee you that you can be successful. You can have great opportunities for personal growth wherever you're at, and you search out those personal growth opportunities and really, really pursue that as a primary goal. Money will take care of itself. But personal growth opportunities, the more you learn, the more you're able to help other people, and the more you're able to be have a greater value proposition, and you'll have great success with that formula. I just encourage everybody to really think about that. And the other side of it is, it's a lot of fun.
It is.
It's a lot of fun to set higher goals. And that doesn't mean you have to be arrogant. You don't have to be writing checks you can't cash. You don't have to do it that way. But it's more about personal growth and really learning more and being able to provide more and add more. Work harder.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing we all can do is we can work really, really hard. And I learned that from my father and mother early on out on the farm there north of Pocatello. We learned how to work.
Absolutely.
And it's always served me very, very well.
No, Roger, that's such great advice. And I encourage everyone listening, but especially our students, dream big dreams. Look for those opportunities for personal growth and to have the career and professional life that you dream about. Roger, every day you're helping our students. You're inspiring our students. We appreciate that. What those of you may not know is Roger supports our students. There's a scholarship that Roger provides, and it's just a really wonderful thing. And his interaction and willingness to engage with our students and help them in their path. Roger, for all of those things, all of us in the Idaho State University College of Business are extraordinarily thankful to you and hope you have a great day. Thank you for joining us on the show today, Roger.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Roger. We'll be right back with Dr. Nicole Hansen here on the Bingle Business Radio Show. Welcome back to the Bingle Business Radio Show, and I'm very excited to be joined by my guest. Dr. Nicole Hansen is a professor of marketing here at Idaho State University in the College of Business. Cole, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shane. Happy to be here.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here. I hear so many great things from students on their experiences in Dr. Hansen's class and the great things that you do. And obviously, as a marketing professor myself, I was a little extra excited for our conversation today. So, Nicole, let's start with this. Just kind of talk about your background. How did you become kind of where you went to school, and how did you become a marketing professor at Idaho State University?
All right. So I'm originally from San Jose, California. I went to San Jose State. I started off as a double major in finance and economics, and I started working at Cisco Systems, actually in marketing research there, which sort of made me fall in love with marketing even more. I went back and did a master's in economics at San Jose State, and actually started teaching the 7:30 a.m. class there.
Wow.
Before I would go to my job. And I just really loved teaching. I really loved research. And I thought, you know, let me hold off for a couple more years, but I'm going to really try to get into a PhD in business and try to get into the program. So I eventually applied to Texas A&M, where I started off in the master's program in marketing, and I was able to work with a lot of great professors there on their research, kind of get a leg in because it was a really hard program to get into. And so then eventually I was accepted into the PhD program, where I spent another 5 years in marketing there. And then my first job was at Cal State LA back in Southern California, which I really loved my time there. But I saw an opening at Idaho State and I talked to Professor Sandra Speck on the phone. Yep. And you know, she's just very convincing. So she brought me out, and I still remember driving. I flew into Salt Lake City, had the car, I was driving, you know, and I remember seeing the Welcome to Idaho sign and just crossing over. Maybe you did as well. And it just, open space, just felt like so much freedom here, mountains everywhere. And I just fell in love with Pocatello and faculty, and I knew I wanted to come to Idaho.
Well, Nicole, you and I share such a common experience from that. We felt the same way when we came to Idaho. It is stunning here. We love Pocatello. We love our colleagues that you and I get to work with every day. I remember when I was offered the job and I was going through different departments and seeing things. And obviously, being a marketing professor, I understand that better than other disciplines. And when I was going through and reading the bios and saw that you had a PhD for Texas A&M, for our listeners who may not know this, truly one of the best PhD in marketing programs in the world. And so we are so fortunate and thankful to have you here. Nicole, talk to us a little bit about your research and some of the things that you're working on.
Well, with COVID, as I'm sure you and all of our listeners can agree with, it's really sort of changed my life, changed my behavior as a consumer. And even just teaching the intro class and the marketing research class, I mean, almost every lecture I'm saying COVID multiple times, and how is this impacting this, what we're talking about? And it just seems that marketing is changing so quickly. I've always been interested in economics. Obviously, we're going through a really extreme economic situation right now. And I am very interested in understanding kind of the intersection between economics and marketing, and specifically how COVID is impacting consumer behavior and the sort of the long-term implications that that's going to have for brands.
I think it's really interesting, Nicole, and you and I were talking before the show, but I think that there's a lot of consumer behavior and consumer trends that have been changed maybe forever because of COVID. I mean, I noticed that even with myself, things that I do differently or kind of different patterns that my family has in purchasing things or just the way we go about stuff that has happened since March. And so I'm guessing you're probably seeing some of that as well.
Yeah, definitely seeing that. I asked this on my first day of class. We have a good discussion in my intro class on how COVID's kind of changing their behavior and things. And just, you know, just some things that typically come up, you know, is that, you know, they're eating at home more. Okay. Yep. People are learning how to cook, right? And when I was in the PhD program, I had to learn how to cook just out of necessity because I was on a stipend. I didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, even though I can afford to eat out more now, I still take some of that behavior and I cook a lot at home, you know, and even when I go out to eat, I'm always surprised at how expensive it can be and it can get. So I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see a lot of changing and people just staying home more, using delivery services a lot more, you know, Thrive Market, Chewy.com, Costco, Target, Amazon, all of these brands, their stock valuations are just skyrocketing.
Oh, yeah.
Right, as you see. So we just see like a rise in like wallet share up to these big brands. And I think it's going to definitely have a lot of negative impacts, unfortunately, on smaller retailers or retailers that are sort of just kind of not adapted to the e-commerce environment as much.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be a fascinating thing. And again, I think just the study and the research into the area of how things won't just, even once we're vaccinated and once people feel safe and healthy, there's still going to be some of these changes that truly the trajectory of things will be different even after we're all past COVID and past wearing masks. So one of the things that I want to share, if for listeners that are students that are marketing majors know this, but if you go to any great business school like Idaho State University and you are a marketing major, as I was, Nicole, as an undergrad, I was a proud marketing major, just about any great business school has two marketing classes that you have to take as part of a marketing major. One of those is consumer behavior, right? Why people buy what they buy. People think of that. But the other one is marketing research. And if you get a marketing degree here at Idaho State University, you will take marketing research with Dr. Hansen. So let me ask this, Nicole. What is the best thing or something you enjoy about teaching marketing research?
So in my marketing research course, it's very applied. Obviously, we do some lecturing, but we just started it this week. First week, I have them work on a food truck project throughout the semester. So they are, you know, they're doing this project in steps, but basically, you know, everything in terms of the marketing mix. So understanding the product selection, the pricing, the place of the food truck, they design the logo, the colors, the promotions. I have them test out various promotions, you know, so we go through the whole marketing mix. They have all these questions they need to answer, and they actually go out and collect that research. And so we use a combination of focus groups, interviewing, this really interesting technique called ZMET, which is basically you create a picture collage. Maybe you've heard of the ZMET.
I love that. Absolutely.
So we learn a lot of tools and really apply marketing research. And at the end, just watching them. And we also talk about how to tell a compelling story with our presentations. And so we work on that throughout the semester. There's a great book called Storytelling with Data that I have them read. And so it's really interesting watching where I go and applying all of this material throughout the semester and then actually having them come up with a really viable like business at the end that they've done really thorough marketing research on. And I've actually had a student in Idaho Falls, he's considering opening up a food truck business.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they are actually doing extremely well right now in COVID times.
Oh,
okay, across the country.
Nicole, I think this is, these are the glory days for food trucks, right? I mean, this is the best time ever. And I love that. And one of the things that I've had students tell me about your class is, regardless of what a student plans to do after they graduate, I think that marketing research and your ability to understand that and apply that is something that's going to benefit students regardless of their future plans. Don't you agree?
I agree. And I always tell them, you know, put this on your resume, put this on the resume that you created surveys, that you did focus groups, you know, that you've created this project, show them a mock-up of what you created, right? Even if you don't technically have work experience in marketing research, although of course that would ultimately be ideal to have that as well, but right, put it on your resume that you've done these applied projects throughout your various courses that you're taking.
So, Nicole, let me wrap up by asking this question. So we get to work with incredible students every day, and it's been so great having the students back on campus this week and visiting with them. Is there any advice that you have for students? So some of the folks listening to this are going to be current students, marketing students that have you in class, but also some students maybe in other parts of the university or college that aren't marketing majors or won't take your class. So is there any advice that you'd like to share for students or things you wish your students would know?
Sure. I think as much as possible, you know, try to get some work experience, even if that's unpaid. I know that's hard for some students. Maybe it's just, you know, a couple hours a week, right, where you reach out to local businesses and you say, hey, a lot of local businesses maybe don't have a lot of funds right now, but they maybe would be willing to take you on. And just kind of showing that initiative and having that on your resume, I think would be huge, right, regardless of the area that you want to go into. So I would definitely recommend that if possible, you know, try to, you know, I know it's hard. A lot of students are extremely busy with everything going on, but I think being on the other side and hiring people who were just straight out of college, that's what really separated a lot of the students or applicants from other applicants, was having that work experience, that applied experience.
No, I think
and like I said, just even in your courses, you know, if you're doing these applied projects, put that down. You know, put that down on your resume that you've, you know, learned the software, you've learned, you know, storytelling with data, right? How to create really compelling presentations for a business audience and show some examples of that. Put a portfolio together, create a website. All of those things I think would be really helpful in having you show that you have some unique value compared to other applicants.
I totally agree. And I think that's really, really great advice for students. And you want that final thing. I said that was going to be the last question, but I just thought of this too. So, you know, you talk about being from San Jose, California, and I'm originally from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And now we are both thankful to be at Idaho State and Pocatello and Southeastern Idaho and the community here. And one thing that I say about that is I think that one of the great things about being a marketing major is regardless of where you might end up living in your life, in any city or town in the United States, anywhere throughout the world, I think that marketing skills are going to be in demand. And would you agree with that? Is something for students that are maybe thinking about what their major is and kind of kicking around different things, I think marketing is a great choice for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, so like you, I teach the intro course. So we just got through week one, which is what can I do with a degree in marketing? Okay, and so I list some career options. But I also say that even if you're not going to use marketing, maybe you're going to be an entrepreneur, or you know, even if you're going to just be interviewing, you are marketing yourself, right? So why should a company hire you versus all of these other people that are going to be applying right now, right? And so that is marketing, right? You are going to need to communicate that you have some unique value and be able to really pitch that to a potential employer. So I think regardless, all students should take marketing and you know, without marketing, you don't have a brand, right?
Absolutely.
You don't have a company. So, and I think also if students should take personal selling. I probably wouldn't be great at it, but I think it's similar, right? Even if you don't go into sales, just the skill set that you get from that would be tremendous.
No, those skill sets, and again, when you're talking about sales, when you're talking about branding, when you're talking about research, all of those things are going to help you no matter what you're doing, and definitely encourage students to do that. I'll tell the listeners one quick story. So there was a student this past semester at Idaho State that two of the department chairs had identified that were in their classes, and they were talking about what a great student it was, and they were an undecided, they're going to be a business major, but undecided. And so they're like, we're going to get him to be an accounting major. We're going to get him to be a finance major. And they both had told me this is, you know, they're going to do it. They're in my class. And so we were having a meeting at the end of the semester. And I said, so, hey, which one of you guys, you know, which one did the student choose? And both of them kind of shook their head and they said the student chose marketing. And and I said, oh, I said, marketing's a great choice. I said, why did they choose marketing? And their reason was because of the impact that Dr. Nicole Hansen had had on that student. And Nicole, we are thankful every day for everything you do in the Idaho State University College of Business. And I'm thankful to be your friend and colleague.
Well, thank you for that story. I love that story, especially now when we're sometimes a little disconnected on Zoom and it's a little challenging not to have a full classroom. It's nice to know that even in this environment, right, we're still able to interact with students and hear those stories and make a difference. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Thank you to everyone. Hope you enjoyed this edition of the Bengal Business Radio Show, and we look forward to visiting with you in the future.
The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impacts of our ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Each episode features ISU College of Business alumni who is a senior executive at a leading organization, sharing their experiences, thoughts on current business, related events, and advice for business professionals and entrepreneurs. In addition, each episode features interviews with an ISU College of Business professor where they discuss their research, the impact it is having to solve current business problems, and innovative things they are working on in the classroom. The show is hosted by Dr. Shane Hunt, Dean of the ISU College of Business. Join us on the final Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. here on KISU-FM for Bengal Business.